Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket today, Britney Spears' father wants an orderly transition, and the judge handling the case is being threatened. Second, remember that Dallas man caught on videotape kidnapping Cash Gernon? Well, he's been formally indicted for capital murder. Third, I have said escape from custody is one of the dumber things anyone could possibly do. This Oklahoma man said, hold my beer. One of the suspects accused of killing Officer Ella French, he was on bond and probation. And then finally, let's talk about facts, reason, and censorship. And then we'll get to our dumb criminal contestant of the day, as well as our roundup of the dumb criminal contestants of the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for taking the time to watch. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button. And if you haven't done so, please hit that little bell. Why the little bell? Well, that's so you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And just as a friendly reminder, if you can't watch us here on YouTube, you can also download us on any of your favorite podcasting apps. Just type in Crime Talk with Scott Reich and there you can have it. All right, let's get to the docket. Britney Spears, well, her father now wants to have an orderly transition and states that he will like to step down as the conservator when basically the time is right. In some legal filings, he indicated that he is willing to do this, but he wants to make sure of this orderly transition. Now, I'm not saying that there was anything nefarious going on with the books or anything related to Britney Spears. Frankly, we just don't know. It may also appear that Britney has some mental health issues that certainly needs some help. She also indicates that she wants a conservator, just not her father anymore. Mr. Spears also goes on to say that he will always be Britney's father and he will always love her unconditionally. It may be just be a little easier getting paid, you know, millions of dollars over the years, but he's always looking out for her best interest. Jamie Spears, the father, also takes a swipe at Lynn Spears and says that she's basically had little, if any, involvement in the conservatorship, let alone Britney's life for the last 13 years, and that her credibility is undermined by Britney herself because she refused to even see Lynn when she was at a mental health facility back in 2019. Now, Britney's new attorney, Matthew Rosengart, was not moved by this olive branch being offered in regards to this peaceful transition. He stated, quote, "We are pleased, but not necessarily surprised that Mr. Spears and his lawyers finally recognize that he must be removed. We are disappointed, however, by their ongoing shameful and reprehensible attacks on Ms. Spears and other. Ms. Spears and others. Ms. Spears and others." The attorney continues, this is where it gets good. "We look forward to continuing our vigorous investigation into the conduct of Mr. Spears and others over the past 13 years while he reaped millions of dollars from his daughter's estate, and I look forward to taking Mr. Spears' deposition in the near future. In the interim, rather than making false accusations and taking cheap shots at his own daughter, Mr. Spears should step aside immediately." Well, that doesn't exactly seem like the olive branch is being accepted at all. It sounds like the attorney for Britney is stating that they believe that there's been some financial misconduct on the part of Jamie Spears. It is going to be very interesting, and wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall during that deposition to see how much money was spent by Jamie Spears for his own fees and costs over the years. and it shouldn't be in the millions at all. There could be a subsequent criminal case if it was determined that Jamie Spears was not acting within the guidelines of his position as a conservator. Now, in a related matter regarding Britney Spears, the judge who's overseeing the conservatorship and the potential removal of the conservator in this particular case is Judge Brenda Penny. Now, she is receiving death threats. Now, people, you can't go around threatening people. First of all, it's just not nice, okay? I'm sure your mother, your father taught you better than that. And guess what? It's only going to get you charged. Now, why would you want to go there? You know, if you think the judge is making poor decisions, let them know, Judge, I think you made a poor decision. For example, why did you delay the new attorney's request to have a hearing sooner rather than later and set the matter out into September? Judge, I think that maybe you can't manage your docket very well. Judge, I think you should take action on this because there appears to be some urgency to it. But threats will get you nowhere except arrested. And that kind of just goes to the general civility of society these days. People can agree to disagree without having to resort to violence. Now, don't get me wrong. If somebody wants a fight, game on. I'll be the first one there. And I will do everything I can to win. But the bottom line is, you don't need to go there, particularly for people that you don't know, and particularly who they're not going to listen to you at all, specifically if you are threatening them. And it's also interesting that Jody Montgomery, the temporary conservator, has also received death threats, and which is a little ironic. This just shows you how people don't really look into the facts very well, because Britney Spears wants Jody Montgomery to remain as the temporary conservator. Now, Montgomery has requested a $50,000 flat fee to cover her personal security expenses as a result of accepting this position. Now, the conservator, Jamie Spears, has denied that request and basically stated that Miss Montgomery should bear her own costs related to her security. Now, I'm not really sure why somebody needs security in something like this. I've had many, many death threats. I've had cases over the years where people have called my office and said terrible, terrible things to me, but I was never particularly worried about it. As a general rule, if people are usually too much of a coward to tell you something and they won't leave their name, you probably shouldn't be too worried. However, if they threaten you and they leave their name, that's the one where you call the police. This one's going to be interesting with Britney Spears, and I think that there will be some criminal charges at some point, at least an investigation. But like all things in life involving wealthy people, politicians, that's right, they'll investigate it forever and nothing will ever come from it. Next on the docket, do you remember the guy that was caught on video, not once, but twice, going into the home and the bedroom of Cash Gernon in Dallas and kidnapping young Cash and then ultimately killing Cash? That's right. Darian Ronell Brown, he was formally indicted Monday by a Dallas County grand jury for the slaying of Cash Gernon. It is obviously a capital offense. Now, we have shown this video, but I think it's maybe worth showing just once again. Look how Mr. Brown goes into the room, into the house that is not his, and he has no reason to be there. And he literally plucks this child from his bed. Be afraid, ladies and gentlemen. You have to take care of your family. You have to look out for them, because the police are not going to be there to say, hey, what are you doing going into that house that's not yours? They're not going to do anything. They show up later and put the little markings and the yellow tape up around the crime scene. You have to take care of yourself. And ladies and gentlemen, as a criminal defense attorney, I'm telling you, there are a lot of bad people in the world, and you don't always know what they look like. What does a bad man or a bad woman look like? You don't. So you got to trust but verify. And what's even creepier with this guy is that he goes back not once, but twice, and actually considers taking Cash's other brother from the house as well. Gruesome, gruesome case. All right. Now, I have said this before, that when you try to escape from custody, it is one of the dumber crimes that you can do. Well, this guy in Oklahoma, he said, "Hold my beer." So Lucas Strider is his name, and he almost made it to the dumb criminal contestant, but this is just a little too good that we just can't pass over a little bit. So Mr. Strider was being transported from the Oklahoma County Detention Center on charges of grand larceny. Now, what does grand larceny consist of in this particular case for Mr. Strider? Well, he was caught on suspicion of stealing catalytic converters and copper wire and other such things. Now, you may say, Scott, how are you familiar with people stealing catalytic converters? Well, it's kind of the flavor of the month. Everybody's getting their catalytic converters stolen these days. And it's usually on older cars a little bit. Hondas seem to be very popular. And I've even had a couple of clients that have been charged with this particular crime. It is kind of the flavor of the month. And to top it all off, the lovely Miss Kristen, you've all met her on our Tuesday Night Live shows, and we've talked about her in the past. Well, her children were going out to their car the other night, and it sounded like, well, the muffler was missing. A quick inspection underneath found that the catalytic converter had been chopped off, and nobody was able to see it on any of the video cameras that are around the neighborhood. So you know that these catalytic converter thieves are rather slippery, just like Mr. Strider. So he's being transported, and what happens? Well, he apparently is able to open the car and escape. He runs off into the woods. He then got his hands on an ATV and wound up going to a nearby town where a police officer was able to capture him on video cam, where he's basically joyriding through town. Joe Strider cutting through parking lots, through traffic, and through locations where the police were unable to keep up with the their police cars. The police stated that they lost him for a little bit, but they continued the pursuit. And various close-ups of the video show that he was driving the ATV using only its right handlebar, which would suggest that he was still handcuffed. A mud puddle, if you can imagine this, a mud puddle is what ultimately stopped the mayhem from continuing. And the reason why the mud puddle stopped Mr. Strider was because the police positioned a truck to block a dry section of the dirt road, which ultimately made Mr. Strider steer towards a large puddle. A massive spray of water erupted when Strider attempted to run through that puddle, and the ATV was no match for the mud. And it was all caught on television. You have to love that. The ATV flipped on its side. Strider was thrown from the vehicle. He fell into the mud as it tipped over. And an officer with a taser drawn approached as Strider emerged from the mud puddle in a manner resembling, well, what appeared to be like a hippopotamus on all fours. That's right. Another officer approached him as well, and he was taken into custody. See, Mr. Strider, I told you it is one of the dumber crimes, because that's right. They think you're escaping. You must be dangerous, and they're going to get you. And yes, you just look silly, and now you have more charges on top of stealing catalytic converters. God, it's just my pet peeve. People stealing other people's things. It just drives me bonkers. Well, remember the story we brought you the other day about the Chicago police officer by the name of Ella French, who was returning back from maternity leave and was killed in the line of duty. Three suspects have been charged, but we've learned a little bit more about a couple of the suspects. One of the suspects, Emote Morgan, was actually out of jail because of a hit and run accident that took place back in April. Now, not surprisingly, he was given a PR bond, and even if it was a low bond, he probably would have bonded out. But what is even more troubling is the fact that Mr. Morgan was already on probation for a robbery charge. Right? What is robbery? Taking something of value from another person. Yes, bad. You can't do that. Well, the judge gave Mr. Morgan probation in that particular case. Obviously, he failed miserably, and it's unclear as to why his probation was not revoked when he received the new charge. Now, normally when somebody is on probation and you pick up a new case, a petition to revoke your probation is filed. The district attorney then has a couple of options. They can wait for the resolution of that new criminal case, or they can proceed and basically try to prove it. Most DAs try to wait and see. But you can always normally find another violation of probation, usually like hot UAs, failing to show up for meetings. And guess what? How many violations do you need to revoke somebody's probation? Well, only one. Most probation officers, though, say, well, it's only one. Everybody has a bad day. They skipped them. So they usually wait till there's about 10 to 15 violations. But oftentimes, as you can see, more crime is committed, more serious crime is committed. And in this particular case, obviously, Mr. Morgan is given the presumption of innocence, but he may be responsible for the death of a Chicago police officer. Next on the docket, let's talk facts, reason, and censorship. Now, there is a lot of stuff going on out there in the news about cases, and we try to stick to the facts. And you would be surprised as it relates to the not so nice emails that people send me. It's rather interesting, and usually they don't sign them, and it's some sort of anonymous email that they send, where they say terrible things because why? They don't agree with my interpretation or statement of the facts as we know them. Now, say, for example, the Barry Morphew matter. I made some statements that people should be a little hesitant to take everything at face value because there's really always two sides. I think we found that out in the Suzanne Morphew preliminary hearing the other day. Things are not always what they seem, and, well, sometimes people have a second life going on. Well, I made some statements that the case thus far was not that strong, and I hope the prosecution had more. Otherwise, they're going to have a difficult time proving this case beyond a reasonable doubt. Those are facts, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, that was my opinion, but that opinion was based upon those facts. And you can't use your feelings to come to a conclusion where we are talking about somebody's liberty or potential life at stake. Okay? Feelings, really, there's no need for them in court. That's the bottom line. And that's what the court system is supposed to do. We don't have mob rule. We're supposed to look at the facts and we're supposed to decide if there's a difference of facts as to which one is true. Sometimes maybe a little bit of each of them is true. But to simply say hateful and terrible things because you don't like the facts, well, that's just simply unacceptable. And it frankly shows that you're not using a whole lot of reason and skills. And maybe it's just the time, the era that we live in these days where everybody is canceling other people because they don't like their opinions. And, you know, we saw just the other day, Rand Paul was censored by YouTube because somebody at YouTube didn't like that he was reciting statistics and facts from studies that took place around the world regarding masks. And I don't really care what was said about them. The point is somebody at Google and YouTube decided we don't like those and therefore they took down his channel. Now, I understand they're a private company. They can do what they want. But it's a little concerning when the government says, well, we can't ban that because that would be against the First Amendment. But they say, gee, we hope that organizations like Facebook and Google will take care of this basically for us. Well, that's a little scary. I don't care what side of the political spectrum you remain. It may be a good thing if they agree with your opinion today, but what if they disagree with your opinion tomorrow? Once again, not using a whole lot of reason. This is just my opinion, but I think people need to start thinking for themselves. And someone once said, if you don't know, the thing to do is not get scared, but to learn. That's right. Go learn. Go find out the information for yourself. Don't take your news from a news feed on Facebook where it is nothing but a meme, okay? That is not news, ladies and gentlemen. And it's scary that most people get their news from a meme on Facebook. Do the research yourself, get the information, look at the facts, and don't just conclude an opinion and then find the facts that you want to support your opinion. That's not thinking. That's not being intellectually honest at all. It's nothing but intellectual dishonesty. So that's all I have to say about that today. I'm just a little frustrated, maybe a little bit by the world, and people that just don't want to look at the facts and have no idea how they can possibly ever change their mind. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Roy Smith, congratulations, you're a contestant. It turns out that Mr. Smith was discovered soaking wet and bleeding when police from Groomfield Township arrived at the scene Monday morning. An eyewitness said he had been driving past a property, and when he noticed the suspect dressed only in black underwear standing on the porch. The unnamed passerby parked and spoke with the man, and that's when the owner of the property came out. Well, that's when Mr. Smith grabbed some furniture on the porch and threw it through the window and then made a straight line to the basement. When the police arrived at the property, where did they find Mr. Smith? Lying face down, claiming he could not move because he was a bomb. Mm-hmm. And he stated that if he did in fact move, he would die. Unclear exactly why Mr. Smith thought he was a bomb, but perhaps some mental health issues. Well, needless to say, he has a little time to think about it. He was arrested for a felony count of criminal mischief, damaging someone else's property, another charge of misdemeanor criminal mischief, and the bail was set at $75,000. Seems a little high for a man that's breaking into your house while he's naked when you have other people that are on probation for robbery and do hit and run, i.e. hit somebody and drive away when they were being injured, and they get a PR bond. I guess it just depends on the judge for the day. Or it could be like Mr. Smith because, well, this is the second time he's been arrested in 10 days. But he has a lot of time to think about what he did because he hasn't made that bond just yet. And maybe he'll use it and maybe seek a little counseling. Maybe whatever drugs he may have been on will come off of those as well. You just can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. It's just almost too good to be true. All right, a quick recap of our contestants throughout the week. Make sure you leave a comment below. We'll announce the winner next week. Monday, R. Kelly, that's right, 53-year-old, should have taken or at least tried to get a plea bargain. If he loses, he's probably going to die in custody. I'm sure this will be Mr. R. Kelly's peak achievement if he is in fact selected. All those Grammys and everything else that he maybe would have won, nothing compares. Nothing compares to a Crime Talk mug. Tuesday, Shane Goldsby. He was sentenced to 24 years on top of his original sentence that he was serving for killing his roommate. Well, and some people may say he had a pretty good idea as to what he was doing, and it was maybe justified because his cellmate was the man who sexually assaulted his younger sister, a child. Some people, this man would be getting an award. Maybe he'll get one for the dumb criminal contestant of the week. He could have just checked himself out, maybe done something when he wasn't actually in his own cellmate. Kind of reduces the number of suspects right there, but you got to do what you got to do. Next, we had Brandon DeMarcus Prescia, who's been charged with tattooing a minor and tattooing without a license. He did that in Lawrence, South Carolina. But of course, he had a suspended jail sentence hanging over his head. That means that you got to be put on probation. And if you mess up that probation, like we talked about earlier, that's right, you go to prison. Mr. Prescia thought it was very important to tattoo minors in the McDonald's. Nope, bad decision. Dumb criminal contestant for sure. Thursday, Michael Lewis hid under the mattress from the sheriff deputies when he was running from them. And the police dog ultimately sniffed him out and grabbed his arm and let them know where Mr. Lewis was. I saw a couple of comments. People said, hey, I think I've seen that on Cops. And obviously, Mr. Lewis was trying to recreate the scenes from Cops. And then obviously today, Mr. Roy Smith, who broke into the house wearing only black underwear. He was soaking wet and yelling that he was a bomb and that he couldn't move. Those are our contestants for the day. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you don't think we're too much of a downer today. I don't know why, just a little grumpy. And I don't know, I guess I'm just tired of people that just have to always be right. I'm not always right. Frankly, I change my opinion all the time based upon new information. Remember that. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.